Amen. We love our children. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 15. I'm going to just do a short intro to the missions team of Providence. In Acts chapter 15, we see Paul, at this time called Saul, and Barnabas had been sent on a mission. In Acts chapter 13, the Spirit spoke to the believers that were gathered, and they laid hands on Paul, or Saul, and Barnabas, and sent them on to missionary journey. In Acts chapter 15, we read these words, beginning of verse 3. The church sent them on their way. Now they're going back to Jerusalem. And they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, and they told how the Gentiles had been converted. God had used Saul and Barnabas to share the gospel with many Gentile, non-Jewish people, and they had been converted. They had put their faith in Jesus Christ. This news made all the brothers very glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. And so there is a precedent. Whenever we send people out on special assignments, we look forward to them coming back and reporting to us what God did through that ministry. And so this morning, we want to hear from Team Mission Providence, the Envision team that went up there. And we're looking forward to that. We're going to invite Colin to come on up, and he's going to do a slideshow first, and then we'll hear from the team members as well. So come on up. Let's encourage and welcome them.
Everybody hear me all right? Yeah. Well, we had an amazing, amazing week a few weeks ago. And I just want to thank everybody again for donating and also for your prayer and support. This is an overwhelmingly amazing week that we had. And so I want to kind of walk you through everything that we did while we were there. First of all, I'll tell you a little bit about Envision. Envision is the organization that we went through, and they have mission sites all across the United States. In big urban areas, New York, Chicago, L.A. And this was actually the very first summer that the Providence site was in existence. They had just launched the site. And we were actually the very first youth group team to go there and to be a part of this. So that was really cool that we got a chance to be able to be there and to be a part of launching the site. Kim, you can go to the next slide there. The next one there. Okay. So when we got to Providence on Saturday, the Envision site was a little rough. It was not in great shape. It was kind of actually in a really bad neighborhood. And when we got there, we didn't quite know what to expect. Some of us were a little scared, actually. You know, the building, they had a chain link fence surrounding it with a locked gate. And, you know, the building was just kind of in shambles, the outside of the building was. And so we come inside, and Rob, the director there, was giving us a tour of the building. And we went to the second floor, where we're going to be for the whole week, doing drywall, and it was miserably hot up there. No air conditioning. 90 degrees outside, probably 90 more degrees inside, and it was just miserable. And I remember thinking on that Saturday, oh, this is going to be a long week. And it was hot up there. And we were up there kind of taking a tour, and we were sweating and dying up there. The really cool thing was that throughout the week when we were working, you couldn't even tell how hot it was. God really did a miracle while we were up there, and that was really cool. You know, I was really nervous about that, but it was not nearly as bad as we thought it was going to be, and that was really cool. When we got there on Saturday, one of the first things that we did was we went to downtown Providence to Water Fire, which is kind of a big cultural thing that they had there. It was kind of a neat art festival where they lit the water on fire. They had little bonfires on the river. And it was really cool to see that, get a taste of what downtown Providence was like. On Sunday morning when we were there, this was probably one of the coolest things that we had also. We got the chance to worship with International Alliance Church. And they are the Cambodian church that we actually stayed at while we were there. The Envision site is on the second floor of the church. The church is on the first floor. The Envision site is going to be on the second floor. And the church, the Cambodian church, and we were probably the only non-Cambodians there. But it was really cool. Everybody was so overjoyed to see us. And everybody came up to us, hugged us, said thank you for serving. And that was just really cool to see that they were so overjoyed to see us. And you just don't see that in a regular American church. People welcome visitors in that way. It was just really cool. We felt really welcomed. And the service was awesome. They were in and out in less than an hour. But also, I think that was because it was really, really, really hot in the sanctuary. And the Cambodian people were wearing suits and ties, and it was no big deal, but we were all dying in there, and it was just miserably hot, no air conditioning in the sanctuary. So, but it was just a really, really cool experience for us to be able to worship with them and to be a part of that. And also, Sunday afternoon, we had a scavenger hunt in the city, and he gave us a list of things to find in the city. And none of us knew where anything was. The site director, Rob, actually had Josh drive his car in the city. It's a brand new city, a nice car. And Josh was a little scared because none of us knew where anything was in the city. So we were driving around aimlessly trying to find things and get points for finding things in the city. And like encrypted codes and how to find things. And it was really, really hard. But it also did a great job of orientating us to the city and getting us used to being in the city and finding things. Driving in the city, really scary. People don't know what stop signs are. I got stuck in a dead end in the church van and had to back out, and it was really scary. But we made it, and it was a fun experience there on Sunday afternoon. So Monday, when we were there, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is when we did most of our work. The job that we had to do there was drywalling. We drywalled kind of the second floor, which is going to end up turning into their Envision site. And like I said, the church is on the first floor. The Envision site is going to go on the second floor. But the second floor, the team before, I said an adult team the week before, that kind of took down everything that was there. And so our job then was to drywall and start the reconstruction of the site. So I don't know about you guys, but I've never really had any drywall experience before. And most of these kids hadn't either. So we're kind of going in blind, just doing what we could. Ryan and Josh kind of headed that up for us because they knew what they were doing. I had no idea what I was doing. But we did. And these kids worked really, really, really hard up there. Even though we didn't know what we were doing, they took that on like champions up there. And, you know, most of us were hanging the drywall. Some were falling behind with speckling in the mud and making it look really nice. I was kind of just floating around, just supervising. but they worked really, 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 really hard. And it was really cool to see how a project kind of brought our group together. We were all really sweating and thinking up there together in the site. And some of us got a little dehydrated, but it was fun. We worked together, and we worked together as a group to accomplish this task of putting up the drywall. Also, one of the other tasks that we did was Rob, the site director, who moved his family down from Maine to Providence to start this site. Him and his family have 6 kids, and they're all younger than, one is in like middle school, the rest of them are probably under the age of 7 or 8, and they're young kids, and they moved down to Providence, and Rob actually just bought a house right down the street from the church. And the lady that was living in the house beforehand had all her stuff still in the house, and she didn't want to, she was all by herself. So we actually had our team come over there and help them unpack their house. And she had a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And they were working there all day Monday, and it didn't seem like they made any progress whatsoever. But the lady was kind of micromanaging things a little bit, and it was a little hard for us to get work done there. But she was also overjoyed for us to come there and help her. And we didn't have to do that. That was an extra thing that we did on the side, was to go over there and help her move. And we did that, and we really were able to show the love of Christ to a lady and her family, helping them move and unpack their house and load it up into a moving truck. And it was really cool for us to see that and to be able to help her in that way. Each night while we were there, so Monday and Tuesday, we actually got a chance to eat a different multicultural meal. On Monday night, we had a meal provided for us by Centro Cristiano Alliance Church, which was the Latino Alliance Church right down the street from the Providence Church, from the International Alliance Church. And this church, we had a Spanish meal there and got a chance to interact with them and kind of talk with them about ministry there. And it was just really cool to see that we're all together, you know, ethnicities aside, that we're all bonded together by the Spirit doing the same work for the King. And that was just really cool to see and to hear them talk about that. And then we also got a chance to take a tour of a Chinese supermarket, and Rob kind of challenged us to buy a food that we never tried before. And I bought some hot and spicy seaweed that was really good. Some of the kids bought some of the fun Chinese foods. That was just really an interesting experience for us to see that as well. And then you can go on to Wednesday, Kim. Wednesday was kind of our free day. We worked a little bit in the morning and got a chance to spend the rest of the day in downtown Providence. We went to a zoo on Wednesday afternoon, and then Wednesday night we went downtown Providence to go see the fireworks. To go down to Thursday, Ken. Yeah. So Thursday was probably one of the more rewarding days that we were there. Thursday we went to Brockton, Massachusetts, which is about an hour away from Providence. And this was kind of a really tough city. I guess she said it was like the fourth most violent city in the United States. And they have a real, real problem with homelessness. So we went and we volunteered at the Haven Shelter. And it was a place in Brockton. And this lady named Deb runs the homeless shelter. And she was a champion, Deb. She was the real muscular lady and worked really hard. And it was, she's a full-time working at a hospital, but runs these other homeless ministries on the side of her full-time job. And she has this building, the Haven Shelter, in which they, it's a resource center for the homeless. It's not necessarily a homeless shelter, but it's a resource center. So the homeless people can come there during the day and they get to, learn career skills and business skills, and people work with them to apply for jobs and that sort of stuff. And they also have work with them on doing art projects and helping them to rediscover their gifts and their passions. And they also can come there and get snacks, refreshments, use the restroom, and that sort of stuff, which they can't normally do on the street. And so that's a really, really cool facility that they have there in use. Deb also talked about how they, a lot of the homeless people in the area stay up all night and sleep during the day, because at night they're so scared of people stealing their belongings, so they don't want to fall asleep, so they stay up all night with all their stuff. So she is actually in the process of building a napping room in her facility, and the napping room will be a place for homeless on the street to come and take a nap during the day at the resource center. So it's kind of a really neat, unique idea that she has in place there. So actually, while we were there, we actually helped her clean up the downstairs area so that she can start working on putting this place in sight. We kind of scrubbed down all the walls and sanded the walls and kind of got that place started for her there, and we were really able to bless her in that way. Also, when our work was done, we actually got a chance to go to a park and to feed the homeless people in the park and to give them food and to pass out food and water. And that was just a really, really cool experience. There's a park just not even a block away from the shelter that we were there. And at the park, there was probably maybe 50 to 60 homeless people just kind of gathered around this small park, smaller than the sanctuary, and they were all kind of gathered together like a community. So we walked around, we passed out food, we passed out water and Gatorade, and they were just so thankful for that. And it was just really, really, really neat. They wanted to talk to us. One of the homeless people actually wanted us to send him a Christmas card because he was so thankful to see us. So we went back to the shelter and we wrote them all a card, and that was just really cool. But also, just being able to get out of our comfort zone, because it was scary to be there. It was scary for us to walk around and do that, but we took it on and we did that, and we prayed with them, and we actually saw one guy who overdosed on drugs right in front of us, and that was really scary. He was laying on the ground and kind of, you know, he was kind of schizophrenic a little bit, and the lady who we were with told us that he had overdosed on a crystal meth mixture. And it was just right in front of us. But we were all kind of looking at that. And Courtney went over there and kind of helped him out. And they had to call the ambulance and the fire truck. But it was just kind of a reality check for us to see that right there, right in front of our faces. And we prayed for him there. And then we kind of went off. But just to see that was just like, wow, this is actually happening. You know, this is what is going on in our world. This is what people live by day by day. Deb, the lady, said this people do their lives are they sleep in the park, they wake up, they stand in line at the liquor store at 11:30 when it opens, they all go in, they go back to the park for the rest of the day. And that's just their lifestyle. So we got a chance to really bless them, to show the love of Christ to them, to pray with them. And that was just a really, really, really neat experience. And to see the work that we did at the Haven Shelter, to see how that was able to be an impactful experience for them, which is really neat. You know, I've been on a lot of missions trips before where you go and you paint a bathroom and do random stuff that you don't really see the impact of. But here we actually got a chance to see the impact of what we were doing. And that was just really, really neat to see and get a chance to be a part of that. So right now, I actually like to invite all of the youth forward, the youth team. We're going to do that in a little bit, yeah. We're actually going to take a love offering for the Haven Shelter, but we're going to do that at the end of the service. And before I have them share, I want to mention one more thing about Thursday night while we were there. We actually interacted with International Alliance Church's youth group. They have what's called a youth collaborative, and it was not a normal youth group, but a group that they have different refugee kids from around the neighborhood. They come and they do like a project or a art project or some sort of thing with the pastor there, and he kind of reaches out to them in that way. So on Thursday night, we built water balloon launchers, and we had a big water fight on Thursday night, kind of cap off our week, so that was really cool to have that done. So right now, I'm going to pass the mic down, and I would like you guys to just say your name and to say the craziest food that you ate while we were in Providence.
I'm Janae, and one night we had rice water, which is the leftover water that they're using when they're cooking their rice. And it tasted like rice.
My name is Christy. I had an egg roll. I've never had an egg roll before. It's pretty good. My name's Chloe, and I had this weird chicken thing that was green and tasted very much like ginger, and it almost made me vomit.
Well, I'm Casey, and I had this rice and with bean stuff. I don't know exactly what it was, and you poured it over it, and it was really good.
Hi, my name is Lydia Ann, and I also had that really weird green thing, and it had a vegetable in it. I don't know what vegetable it was. It was really disgusting.
Hi, I'm Juliana, and I had plantains, and I thought that was cool because I've never had them before.
My name is Isaiah, and I also had that green stuff. It was like a soup, and it had a mystery meat, and not as good.
Hi, I'm Grant, and probably bamboo soup.
Hi, I'm Josh, and I got convinced at the Asian supermarket to buy this big, long cantaloupe-looking thing called jackfruit, and it had yellow petals that tasted like mushrooms in them.
My name's Courtney, and I ate everything they had. And some of it was good, some of it was bad, but we had a good experience.
My name's Brian. Probably the jackfruit. That was very odd.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is I'm going to invite a few of the youth one by one up who have volunteered to share about how the trip impacted them. So I invite Isaiah first to come forward. Use this or that?
Okay, I'll use this.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Anthea again. Can you actually see me over there? Like when you're standing, PT? Like when I like fall asleep. So I actually had a fantastic experience there. Going in, I didn't know half the people's names I was going with. So I really drew closer to all of them and made like long-lasting friends, which is awesome. What really impacted me was the cultural differences. Like in fact, I could probably count on my hands how many Caucasian people I saw in Providence. So it was mostly diverse people from Cambodia and Dominican Republic and other places like that. Let's see. Another thing that really impacted me was going to the homeless shelter. It was really eye-opening for me. There was actually a guy named Harry there. And he was a very interesting fellow. He was extremely excited and joyful the whole time. And we learned at the end that he was actually a Christian. And he believed in God. And at the end, he actually prayed for us. He says, "I thank God for this day." And this homeless man had basically nothing. And he just thanked God for having one more day on this earth. And I thought that was just amazing to me. And actually, after that day, we made a saying between like our group called, Be Like Deb. And one, because she is absolutely ripped. Two, she was just so crazy about these homeless people. And it was amazing to see how joyful she was to serve them and the love that she gave to them. And I thought that was just amazing.
So I had a great time on the trip. It was very fun overall, and I think we grew very close together as a group. Going in, I wasn't excited. It was very hot. We took the cool room, and that backfired. But you know, I think we bought a fan because it was so hot. I think there was like 5 or 6 fans in that room by the end because it was so hot. But we had a lot of fun. I think what impacted me most was probably going to the homeless shelter. It was very eye-opening, honestly. I've never seen something like that before. And witnessing it was amazing to see how much of a community of people they were. But it was also very sad that they had to live like that. And, you know, I think that it was just incredible to get to hand out the water and food to them. And at the end when we prayed, some of them came to pray with us, and some of them were ecstatic to talk about Jesus. And, you know, we went in there being scared, and because it seemed so hopeless and dark there, but it just showed that God brought light to dark places.
So, a little backstory before I really decided to go on the trip. It was before DYR and before I kind of had like a spiritual reawakening, and my relationship with God was very strained, and I wasn't like really trying to be Christian, and Colin was trying to find people to go on the missions trip, and I knew that Christy and Casey was going, And so I was like, oh, maybe I should go. And I was trying to decide, and I was talking to this friend, and I was trying to decide whether I wanted to go, and he just said to me, he said, well, it's during the summer, and you're going to have nothing better to do. Why not? And so that was kind of, I was kind of like, yeah, kind of guilty, because I wouldn't be doing anything. So that was the way I came into the trip. But after DYR, it actually made me excited to go to the trip, because I finally felt like I had a relationship with God, and so it made me excited to want to go to share it with other people and to go out and just help people. And so going to this trip was a mix of anxiety but excitement at the same time. And the trip was hard, okay? There were so many points where I just got so frustrated and I just wanted to go home. But it was also so amazing because I felt like I just grew with everyone in the group. And whenever I was upset, there was always someone to talk to and just help me to get out of that. And then just seeing, like, the work we had done up in the second floor of that room and working hard. And I remember Monday when we went to that church, I'd never been so thankful for air conditioning and a nice meal. But it's just, even though it was such a trial and such a hardship, there were so many good things about it and good things that came out of it. And it's such an unforgettable experience. And I reconnected with friends and then made new friends, and it was just awesome.
Okay, so one of the things that I really enjoyed on this trip was, well, it's been mentioned, but going to all the different churches and seeing all the different cultures and experiencing that. And, like, it was crazy that, like, a lot of them didn't speak a lot of English, like, at the Cambodian church, but they still, like, tried to make us feel welcome and treated us as if we were family or a part of their church. And that was just really cool because you don't see that very often when you visit a church. Another amazing thing was, when we were all working together, it was like, it was just great, even though it was hard and very hot. It was amazing to help with the drywall and to see everybody, like, find the jobs that they were good at and really enjoyed. Like, especially Josh, who learned he's a good DJ. It was awesome. But ultimately, the thing that I will take away most from this was the day when we went to Brockton with the homeless. I was expecting it to just be like Baltimore or any other big city that has homeless people that I've been to, and it really wasn't. And as Colin said, I was expecting like a big park, but it was just this little area that had so many homeless people in it. And while I was there, it was like I was experiencing a different culture just like at the churches. That was crazy. And it just really like opened my eyes to seeing more of the problems that they face when many people are kind of just ignoring them as they're sitting there on the street, and like the man who was just laying there struggling and everybody was just passing him like 10 feet away on the sidewalk. And so that was just crazy. But the trip was overall amazing, even though Ryan tried to kill me with a water balloon. Yeah, he got paid back. But it was just great, and we all grew so much closer. And I just thank you all for the opportunity to do that. So, thank you.
All right. Everyone's so polite up here. No, you go first. So, yeah, like everyone said, this trip was amazing. It was hot, but it was really good. I mean, when we first got there, we rolled up in this really rough neighborhood, and we start taking the bags off. We're lugging bags. We start sweating because it's hot, and I don't think we stopped sweating until halfway home on next Saturday. And actually, I cleared this with Pastor Les. Go ahead and cut the AC. All right. No, but it was absolutely amazing seeing these kids interact with everybody. each other, the people outside, the people in the homeless people in the park. It was absolutely amazing. I shared a scripture about towards the beginning of the week during my Diva night of the four men that carried the man, the paralytic man, to Jesus. And I really saw that scripture this week as these kids came alongside people, came alongside each other that were struggling, came alongside people in the community, came along the homeless people, gave them food and talked to them. And I really saw that scripture lived out in them truly grabbing a corner of the mat for these people and dragging them to Jesus, as hard and uncomfortable as it was. These kids were in uncomfortable situations and they thrived, and it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible to see. I mean, upstairs, we were hanging drywall at 107 degrees outside, no AC, in the attic of a blacktop, black roof, hot up there. And they are working, and they are not stopping. Like, they're hauling it. And then the other half, they've gone down the street to pack up this lady's house. They don't know this lady, and they're right in there being polite and packing up her stuff into boxes. It was incredible to see these kids really show up in that way. And especially when we went to that park with the homeless people, to see these kids that are probably scared to death being up here talking to you guys, going up to homeless people and offering the water and Gatorade and food and being polite and living out the call. And I think Deb said it the best when she said that, you know, these people, she's been doing this for 8 years. They've heard the gospel over and over and over again. And these kids were the gospel to them in that week. They were the story of Jesus coming and giving them water and food and sacrificing their week. They lived out the gospel better than we could ever tell them. And of course, I mean, honestly, with it being so hot, I think it actually caused our group to get closer than if we would have had AC, honestly. Closer, spiritually closer, physically huddling around the window units, everything. I mean, I think it even made the week better. But, yeah, it was just incredible to see these kids this week.
I think that calls for a confession real quick. Because about halfway through the week, Rob had actually offered for us to stay down the street at his house in the air. But I turned him down because I turned him down because I saw how it would bring our group together, and I saw how that was going. And also, it was his first night with his family moving there. I didn't want to bring that on him, but it was really bringing our group together, kind of unifying us together. And so that was just really cool. I didn't want to disrupt that, you know.
As the girls frowned because we lost AC after the first night, we were like, oh, sorry, guys. And then the Lord said, ha, like, off AC, ten fans, I think it's going to take it off. Well, like Josh said, each of the leaders, we all had a night to give a little scripture and just a little talk, just a reflection. And so I had read Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so you could break a million things out of that verse, but bearing with one another in love. These kids did great. As a parent, you should be proud. They were wonderful. I knew I was going to cry. I take care of people all the time who are sick, and I can't make it through a speech. But love. I mean, I don't think I knew what love was until I went on this trip. I saw love from them. I saw love from Deb. Of course, we've seen Deb. We've talked about Deb. But a love that we don't even experience. A love from those people at those churches who just welcomed us in like we were part of their family. I have never seen love like that. It has changed my heart. It has changed my life. It's just been a great experience.
So, it was a very, very impactful trip. I know it's been said to death, but these youth, I cannot remember one complaint, one time, one of the youth saying, it's hot, I'm tired, I don't want to work anymore. I cannot recall one of the youth doing that. They worked hard. They were willing to come out of their comfort zone. It was truly seeing the work of the Holy Spirit. Because that's really the only way it can be described. The people we met, yes, in the churches, they were extremely driven, and all their ministries that they share with us that they have going on in their churches, to serve their community was very encouraging. Their hospitality was extremely heartwarming. Again, Deb from the homeless ministry was a driven woman, and she was using her gifts and talents to serve the homeless there for Christ. A passage that the Lord has put on my heart since when we were there, you know, because they were saying the leaders each had a time to share. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That's the word of the harvest. Therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We were singing that song just a little bit ago. There's an army rising up, and it was really cool to see in this town where we were. There's an army rising up in Providence, Rhode Island, and it was amazing to see what the Lord is doing there firsthand, and for us as a team and group to be able to to help that. Just the way I want to encourage us, but also the Lord giving me to encourage us as a church body. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, that's the Great Commission. And he also said in Acts, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. This here, Queens County, this is our Jerusalem. This is where we're called. If we call ourselves a follower of Christ, we are called to reach our Jerusalem. How can we as a church affect our Jerusalem for Christ? And something that's been in my mind that's really convicted me is the Great Commission, it isn't a suggestion, it's a command. And I know in my life I've taken it as a suggestion. And this trip has really opened my eyes to take it as a command. Because some people are called to go. Some people are called to go overseas. Some people are called to go other places. But right here, I guess, like I said, in Queens County, there's people hurting. There's people that need to hear the love of Christ. So, thank you.
Let's give these kids one more round of applause. Seated. As Josh said, that takes a lot of courage to come up and share in front of the congregation. Some of us do it regularly, but some of us don't ever do it. So to be able to come up and get out of your comfort zone and do that is just really, really encouraging for us to see these kids step up and do that. I'm going to have Janae come read a scripture real quick.
Along with what Colin was saying, that we are so thankful for all of you guys that supported us and just allowing us to love on your kids. They have become our family because Colin and I's family lives 8 hours away. So
I love all these guys. So. I will be reading from Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
All right, now time for the sermon. But I love that scripture, though. And this is actually what I challenged this to the kids on the very first night that we were there in my devotional with them. Well, the example of humility that Jesus showed us, coming down from heaven in complete glory with God, and then coming down onto earth to humble himself and become a human, and to humble himself completely in that way, and to take the form of a servant, and to serve humbly, and then to go even further and to die on the cross for us. Just the ultimate act of humility that he showed. And then Paul writes here in the passage that we are to have the same mindset of Jesus, to have the same humility that we can strive for. And I think these kids really showed that this week. You know, these kids stepped out of their comfort zone, stepped out of the Kent Island bubble to go to inner city Providence and to serve and to go and to sweat and no air conditioning and to not have their phone. We didn't have their phones for the week. So that was another thing that was kind of out of their comfort zone. But they learned how to serve and humble themselves and have this mindset of Jesus. And I hope that you haven't been sitting here just thinking about what we did during the week, but I hope that it's been impactful for you, something that you can take home. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to have the same mindset of Jesus, serving humbly in your everyday lives. You know, go home and turn your AC off for a week and donate that money to something else. Or go mow your neighbor's lawn. Or do different stuff like this. Volunteer at a homeless shelter, maybe in Baltimore or Annapolis. Or even around here in Queen Anne's County, there's a lot of stuff that you can be involved with, the Haven Ministries. You know, we have so many people that are hurting here in our community, like Ryan said. And so I want to challenge us to not let this be a one-time experience, these kids, but to go out and to have a mission mindset. Everything that we do and everything that we see, because it's just so important for us to serve and to humble ourselves before others. And also, I want to add one more thing about the trip. You know, it was kind of the first few days that we were there, you know, we were working, and we didn't really see the fruit of what we were doing because we were working so hard, and we didn't get to interact with any people that were working there. But that drywall and all the stuff that we did on the second floor there, those are going to be classrooms that are going to be used they're going to have an Awana program there starting in the fall. And they're also going to start teaching ESL, English, a second language classes to those in the community. It's a very diverse community. So they're going to use those classrooms that we worked so hard at all week to drywall and to remodel. So to know and have that in mind, and that's what we're using those for, to reach this community, that was just really, really cool to see and to hear. So right now, actually, we're going to take a love offering for the Haven Shelter, which is what we're talking about, Deb. So if you guys want to go down and grab all of the plates right here. And we talked about the Haven Shelter, and this place actually... it's only open 2 days a week during the week because Deb has her own full-time job. So this place is only open 2 days a week. But their rent is $2,800 a month, and utilities and everything on top of that. And they rely solely on donations, volunteer-only ministry there. So right now, I'd like us to consider that. Consider what we heard about the homeless shelter, and we'll take a love offering for them so that we can bless them and help them to get on their feet. And so while we take this offering, Juliana is going to sing a song for us. And that's going to begin.